Good morning, everybody. Welcome this morning to the Rainbow Center. Today we're going to talk about a subject that is talked a lot, and it's called eternal life. We're going to look at today from the scriptures what is eternal life and what isn't eternal life. Because though we talk a lot about eternal life, it is not something that people actually search out too often. How do I know that? Because I listen to people talk, and by listening to them talk, it's obvious they haven't searched things out. So we're going to look at this today, and I'm not sharing everything in regards to it, but I am sharing a perspective that should open our understanding to some different things. So if we're going to talk about eternal life, let's go to the key evangelical scripture in the Bible, which of course is John 3:16. John 3:16. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So here we see that the promise of God is eternal life, and the requirements of eternal life, according to this verse, is to believe in the Son. If you believe, it says, God sent his only Son, whoever believes in him, who believes in that Son shall not perish but have eternal life. So two questions pop up in this. One question is, what is eternal life? And that's going to be the focal point of what we're dealing with today. The other question, what does it mean to believe in him? Because that's a whole other teaching in itself. So I want to just quickly touch on, without going into a whole bunch of teaching, just what it means to believe in him. And we'll save digging deeper into that for another time. But to believe in him simply is believing or trusting in the identity of him. Because all things are found in Christ, in that identity of Christ. Those that believe in his name shall be saved. The word name meaning identity, believing in his identity. So without going to full teaching, we here at the Rainbow Center understand this. We've heard it taught here many times. But to believe in him is to believe in that Christ identity, to believe who God has made us to be, because Jesus is the head of the Christ, but we are the body of the Christ. So whatever the head is, the body is. So believing in him, believing that I am one with him, I am in him, and he is in me. So those that believe in that way, those ones will have, or instead of the word have, let's use this word, will experience eternal life. Sometimes I think different words that mean the same thing, but they create a different picture to help us understand better. So instead of the word have, let's use the word experience. It'll help you understand this. So whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall experience eternal life. So what is eternal life? To understand the eternal life, we must take a look at the natural life. Remember that God uses the natural as a picture to help us to understand the greater reality in the eternal. One scripture that backs that up is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 46. It says, however, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. It's talking a progression of life. It's talking about the first Adam and the last Adam. You have a natural body, but you will eventually you'll experience a spiritual body. So the progression of things is the natural is walked through first, and then the spiritual. So it is designed this way that we look at the natural life around us, and Romans chapter 1 tells us that the gospel is preached through nature, basically. The good news of the kingdom is proclaimed through creation itself. So we understand that this life, this natural life that we are walking through, was given to us to experience and come into a fuller understanding of the spiritual things that God has created. Here's a good example. Look at the life and development of a newborn child. As parents, we expect to see certain signs of development that would show intelligence. Okay? So as a parent, there's certain things you're watching for in your child that you expect to take place in your child that would be signs of development that show intelligence. There's three basic things that you look for. Number one is the ability to identify objects. You watch your child. Is my child identifying objects? When they're laying in their crib and that little mobile is making sound and turning above their head, you watch them and they notice one of the things spinning around, the little bunny or something, and they notice it, their eyes glue on it. What is that? That's identifying an object. Or you watch when your child one day goes, I have fingers. And they discover they have fingers. They discover they have toes and they're fascinated with these toes. Where do these toes come from? But they're there. And there's this, what is it? They're identifying objects. These are mine. These are my toes. That's a sign of intelligence in the natural. That's step one. The next step beyond that is to grasp the meaning of those objects. There's a meaning to them. It's not just a toe. It's not just the bunny going around. It's not just a spoon. You know, that time they have a spoon, you know. Well, no, they start to realize that this spoon is not just a spoon. It's something that food goes on. You see, there's an evolution there of things. They're grasping the meaning of it. And the third one is the ability to apply their meaning to practical application. That spoon with the food on it needs to go in my mouth. That's a practical application. Yes, I have toes, but those toes are to help me to walk. So when you see a child walking, they've put application to the objects that they've discovered. This goes on in the human brain as we're growing in our natural. And the natural, remember, the natural is given as an example of that greater spiritual reality of what takes place in the spirit realm. So what is eternal life? What is eternal life? Well, John chapter 17, verse 3 is the literal answer to that. New American Standard says this, Jesus speaking, and he starts off in verse 3, this is eternal life. That's a bold statement. I'm going to tell you now what eternal life is. This is eternal life. That they may know you, speaking of God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So eternal life, according to John chapter 17, verse 3, Jesus speaking, Jesus says that eternal life is to know God and to know Jesus. The word know there means intimate relationship. It doesn't mean know about, it means to intimately know. A lot of people know about God, but that is not eternal life. Eternal life is not knowing about God. Eternal life is knowing God. Eternal life is not knowing about Jesus Christ. Eternal life is intimacy with Jesus Christ. Intimacy. Amplified says, and this is eternal life. It means to know, to perceive, to recognize, become acquainted with, and understand you, the one only true God, and likewise to know him, Jesus, as the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, whom you have sent. There's far more involved in this. But to have understanding, a relational understanding. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23, it says, thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might, let not the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts, boast of this, that he understands and knows me. For I am the Lord, who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, for I delight in these things, declares the Lord. So whoever boasts, let him boast in this, that he understands and knows me. This is the Old Testament picture of eternal life, this verse in Jeremiah. What is eternal life? To know and understand God. To know and understand God. That is eternal life. Eternal life is a developing relationship in the Christ. Eternal life is a developing relationship in the Christ, which means in the identity of the Christ. By learning who you are in the Christ, by finding out your identity, who God has made you to be. That's eternal life. But notice, it's a developing relationship. That doesn't mean you have everything now. It means you're on a journey. Eternal life is a journey. Eternal life is not a destination. It is not, I'm going to get to heaven one day. That's a wrong picture of eternal life. I'm not taken away from heaven. It's just how it's put together can be misleading. It's a developing relationship. Eternal life is a developing relationship here in this earth, in the Christ. So eternal life is that developing relationship, and it, like the small child in the natural, now we're going to flip this to the spiritual side of things, it is the ability to identify Christ in different things. Instead of identifying objects, we identify Christ in different things. We start seeing Christ in different things around us. That's the baby stages. We start seeing God in different things around us that we didn't see before. Then we have the ability to interpret, understand, and explain those very things that we're discovering. And thirdly, the ability to apply the understanding into our daily lives and into the lives of others. Just like in the natural, we said, for the child, the ability to identify objects, to grasp their meaning, and to apply their meaning to practical application. So it is in the spirit to identify Christ, to interpret, understand those things, and then to apply that understanding into our life. That is healthy development. That is healthy development. This concept works in many different areas. I'm going to use now, speaking of, I'm going to show eternal life in a different way now. The Bible shows us that the number one metaphor, the number one natural example of heavenly life is found in Ephesians chapter 5, speaking of husbands and wives. This is the greatest picture we have of Christ in the church. So eternal life is a developing relationship in the Christ. So let's say as a man who is married to a woman, eternal life for Mike Eternal life is a developing relationship in the Robin. Okay? Notice it's a developing relationship in the Robin. It's the ability to identify Robin in different things. The ability to interpret, understand, and explain the Robin. That's a challenge. Then the ability to apply my understanding of the Robin into my daily lives, into my daily life. Now, one thing we know in the spirit, it's a journey to know and understand God, and at the end of my days, I will still not fully understand God and his ways. I'll go a lot further, but I won't get it all. At the end of my days, I will not fully understand the Robin. Some of her ways, like God, are too mysterious for me. And though I spend a life journeying, I will grasp some of it. I will be able to apply some of it to my life. But at the end of my days, some of it will still be considered faith, believing in that which I do not yet fully understand. Because there are some things of the Robin that perhaps will always be beyond my understanding. Just like they are in God. Now, the other side of the coin, Robin is developing a relationship in the Mike. And it's her ability to identify Mike in different things. The ability to interpret, understand, and explain Mike in different things. And the ability to apply that understanding of Mike into her daily life. It's a journey for Robin. At the end of her days, she may not fully comprehend the Mike. Because there are some things of the Mike that perhaps will always be beyond the Robin. But it's not about understanding everything about the Mike, it's about the journey in it. The farther we can go in our journey, the more, let's use the word again, eternal life we're going to experience. The more I know and understand Robin, the more eternal life, or let's use the word marital bliss, I can experience. My ability to experience marital bliss is determined by how far I can walk out this relationship. How far I can walk through this developing relationship. And that's why I love the marriage example of this, because it's such a powerful example of the heavenly one, of our journey with Jesus Christ. You see, I knew about Robin before I married her. I could tell you a lot about Robin before I married her. I could tell you some of her traits and what she does and, you know, how she does it. I could tell you a lot of those things about her. Just like a lot of people, they read the Bible and they can tell you about God and tell you what God did and why God did it and all those kind of things. So they know about God, but they don't know God. Eternal life is not knowing about God. Eternal life is knowing God. To know someone, you have to walk through the relationship. To know someone, you have to be there when you don't understand. There have been many times over the 20 years of marriage with Robin that I have not understood what she is doing or why she's doing it. I'm just there. I'm just there by faith. I'm just there because I'm going to be a husband and do what I need to do, even though I have no idea what I'm doing, because I have no idea what she's doing. But as time goes on, as time goes on and the relationship goes deeper through the experiences, I'm slowly starting to understand how Robin thinks, why she does what she does, and why she doesn't do sometimes what she doesn't do. That's relationship. And the same with my walk with God over the past 36 years. I'm starting to understand a little bit how God thinks and why God does what he does. In other words, we could say I'm starting to understand God's heart. Just like 20 years with Robin, I'm starting to understand Robin's heart, which somebody on the outside could not know. See, between a husband and wife, there are intimacies of relationship that our hearts are shared with each other that nobody else really knows or can understand. People on the outside can know about, but they can't know. And so it is with God. Eternal life is the journey of relationship in this life. In this life. That journey of relationship. It's the journey of the stepping out when it's awkward to step out. To do things you don't fully understand, but you just know you need to do it. That's part of the journey. That's part of traveling. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, the Apostle Paul speaking, he says, "More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ." But the knowledge of surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, knowing him. Relational. It's all about that relationship. So eternal life is a relationship, and it's a journey. It's a journey with God, and I will say this, eternal life is a journey with people. Because your relationship with God is expressed through your relationship with people. Your love for God is expressed through your love for people. Your acceptance of God is through your experience through your acceptance of people. It's all hand in glove. It's all hand in glove. So eternal life is that journey. The journey of discovery of God and the journey and discovery of people around you. In our journey, we learn to see God differently. And in our journey, we learn to see people differently. We discover that I had some preconceived ideas about God that I discovered weren't true. And I also realized that I had some preconceived ideas about people that now I've discovered are not true. So to have a healthy relationship, my viewpoint of things, my viewpoint of God should evolve. And to have healthy relationships, my viewpoint of people should evolve. How I think about God and people today should not be how I thought about God and people 20 years ago. That's eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever would come into oneness with him, go on a relational journey with him, would not perish or would not suffer, but experience the God kind of life. But experience an intimate relationship that would bring fullness and completeness to you. That's eternal life. Father, thank you today for the opportunity of just sharing your word. And I thank you right now for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. I thank you that through today's teaching, the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. Further today, that we would be able to perceive and recognize and grab hold of the things that you reveal and speak to us by your Spirit, that we would continue on in this relational journey, both with you and with each other. For your glory, in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.